Hodges had been gutting him.
Well, that could creep more.
And Bill Wirtz has signed up to go do it. He didn't check with anybody. He doesn't know shit from Shinola about politics, as you know, to begin with. But he has gone and done it now. So anyway, this study shows that we ought to, the labor constituency really doesn't follow us. The farm constituency doesn't follow us. The business constituency doesn't follow the Jesse Jones in commerce and these folks. And we ought to see, going into 68, what it is that we can do that would at least give us a 50-50 bet to talk to them and try to shade it a little. And maybe we have to raise the ante. Maybe we have to give them more. Maybe we ought to organize a little bit differently. For instance, my group says that if you don't remove this fella Godfrey you got over there, we ain't going to give you any votes up here. They say Pogue is after him and Mahon is after him and said he's a Cooley's man from North Carolina. He misled us, he tricked us, he deceived us on some cotton thing, and he's a no-good so-and-so. Now, if your administration wants to keep him and you think you're going to get something out of him, that's all right. But you can't get Pogue and you can't get Mahon and you can't get these others. That's pretty important when that comes from the chairman of the Appropriations Committee. Because I've got a 40 programs there. I don't know who Godfrey is, but that just came to me this weekend. So I think going into 68 that we got to choose up and put in our best pitchers. And really try to see what we can do to play a little better ball game. We don't have to too much in 65 or 66 in the election. But in 68, we really ought to work at it. And that's what I want you to give a little thought to. Maybe we oughtn't have an assistant. Maybe we ought to have the country divided up into 50 states and our 12 cabinet officers take four or five of them each and just by God barnstorm them. Till they just really see the norm. I don't know really how to do it. I'm trying to figure out what we can do to keep NATO together and to get out of France, what we can do to handle Vietnam, and what we can do about the economic policies and the Federal Reserve Board, stay out of a thing, what I can do about 110 bills we got pending, and my appointment problem's a big one. I've got a bunch coming all the time. I'm looking for a top man, Federal Reserve. I haven't found him yet. And I know you have these problems in Minnesota like I have in Texas. And there's one place that's worse than either one of us. I've forgotten what it was, but California. I had them yesterday. I had to talk to the state chairman. Unruh won't speak to Brown. Brown won't speak to Yardy. Yardy won't speak to the state chairman. And Gene Wyman won't speak to any of them, so they all go in every direction. But we are in power, and we have responsibility, and we got to be leadership, and we've got to find some way to try to... We know we are the farmer's friend. Maybe we haven't been a good enough friend. Maybe that this business of his increasing his income is all right, but I told an old boy the other day that I just think we're doing well, and why are you so upset? He said, well, I'll tell you why I'm upset, Mr. President. Said, you came in kind of like Truman did, and Roosevelt died in office, and he's popular, and he's kind of a hero, and Truman had problems, but he started out at 80%, and you started out at 80. And said, he went on through to Korea, and he dropped to 30, and said, you'll drop to 30 if Vietnam keeps on. People just don't like to see people die, and they just not going to be fine. But he said, I got 44 cents under Truman for my cash, and I paid $700 for my pickup. So that pickup over there cost me $1,700 now, and I've got five of them, and I'm trying to keep rolling. But each one cost me $1,700 instead of $7. And said, I got 44 cents under Truman for my cash, now I'm getting 24 cents. And said, that man over there that's working, said, under Truman, he worked for $50 a month. And I furnished him his meat and his vegetables and his house. Said, now I'm paying him $250 a month and furnishing those same thing. Said, my cake under Truman cost me $40 a ton, now it's cost me $110. And said, all this stuff about what I'm getting on income, said, I don't understand it because it's not here with me. I've got three straight years where I've had a good substantial loss. And I'm just doing my damnedest. And I'm meeting my men in the morning at 5:30. And that's when I have my staff meeting around the kitchen stove. And I have them on the road at daylight, and they never come in till dark. But I said, now you come in, and you put in a wage an hour down here. And you've got it for all of them. Now, I said, I've got to start keeping books on time and a half business. And I really don't know whether I'm under it or not. I'm scared to death, and if I'm not, and I'm your friend, then I'm in serious trouble. But there you are. Now, I don't know how many of them feel that way. I'm sure a good many of them do. Maybe we can do more for them. Maybe we ought to kick the ass of the Australians and the New Zealanders and Western Europe and somebody. I don't know. Maybe we're trying to be too much statesmen. Anyway, I think it's something that we want to look at.
I can assure you we're sure looking hard and worrying a lot.
Are they better off?
Oh, my goodness, my friends. They just are across the board. This is a question of expectation. There's a memo on the way to you, you know. When you get to a certain level where you can afford to do something as well as to cry, they're definitely better off than they've ever been. They're still not as well off as the other guy. And the point is, you look at the other guy who is doing better, and you want it too, and you're entitled to it. The per capita income today is about 2/3 in agriculture what it is in other sectors, but it is about 15% more than it was when we came in. Net income, well, you know the numbers, I have to tell you. This is just true, but the question is, what have you done for me lately, and I want some more, and you're just not doing enough, we're not getting it fast enough. I think if I might say this, I think all the way across the front here, as I've reflected on this and talked to people all over the country, that in a sense we overpromised ourselves, not directly, but in passing our programs, where I went a little too far in saying what was going to be done when we passed the farm bill. I tried to say it's going to take us about 4 years, but I maybe got a little over enthusiastic, and that, plus the fact that surpluses are gone, plus the fact we've had this world hunger and strong demand picture, has meant that that they created here some expectations that just weren't realized as quickly as some of these people thought. And
I've just had a hunch. God Almighty's been telling me for 6 months that ever since Dirksen got up on the floor last year and raised hell about going too far for India, I've been scared we're going to wind up with a shortage. And I went home last August, and it just dry as hell when we started planting down there in September. Well, we got a little shower, and it brought our stuff up just enough to kick out. We planted it again. We haven't had a rain since. And it's just spotted. We have 100 acres there. You can see about 4 10-by-10 spots. That's all that's come up. Now, I hear from Judge Morrison and others that go into Oklahoma and other places that, by God, he thinks we're going to be miserably disappointed if we're not careful. And that you could wind up here with a little shortage yourselves. I was in here last night, Clark Clifford and Jim Rowan, some of them over here. Clark Clifford tells me that he hears that we're in trouble in Oklahoma. I wish that somebody that really rides the range would just would take a good look at this thing before Gene Locke is in here for breakfast wanting to prove a hell of a lot of wheat for Pakistan. And I'm not going to be giving this stuff away if there's any possibility that we might not have it. I don't care what the price is. Screw Judge George. There are 10 senators up out there, and I'm not going to fight for half of them.
Well, let me say,
George McGovern's one. I'm going to give him to you for your birthday, and I want you to stay out of his goddamn state and let him defend himself.
And let me say this to
Nelson
you.
Is another one. I'm not going to lift my hand for them. I think it would be better off if we had Republicans. I think that we do a really better job with the Dirksen than we do with either McGovern or Nelson. I think we've got our programs, and I don't think they can do anything except cut at us. And when you got a wife that cuts at you publicly, then you're in trouble.
Let me say on this one, from the political viewpoint that we're discussing, that we'll be a hell of a lot better off politically and in terms of farmer attitude if it is a little dry. And if we are a little short in supply, we're not going to be so short in supply, we're going to seriously shorten our own market. Now, I sent you this memo that you, I think, have seen, because Rostow called me about it, projecting this. We're watching this very carefully.
Yeah.
The most we'll be down here will be 200-300 million bushels a week. That'll make a difference of about a quarter bushel. If we have good weather and it rains, why, I'm going to catch hell, and indirectly you, because we're producing too much and get the farm prices down.
Okay, all right, that's good.
See, if it doesn't rain, it's a little dry and the price is tight, prices are going to be up and we're going to be right.
Yeah, but what about the poor bastard that got nothing? Well, got nothing to sell.
Well, we can't do anything about that. Well, for whatever he does get, he'll at least be getting a decent price on it, because we can't make it rain or shine.
All right, you go ahead on this, and then give a little thought to what we ought to do to get out with the farm community and have the panel shows and get them to talking and see what we do. Have you got your wage hour thing in decent shape where they're?
I think so, yeah.
Have you got plenty of people to advise them and get the county agents and see if they get the dope out?
Make the simplest things they can. How they putting in charge over there of Esther? I love her, but I doubt a woman ought to be dealing with setting prices for you.
Incidentally, on this, one of the problems with these farm groups, the vice president's remarks, is that they're just fighting and cutting and slashing the hell out of one another. This is a bitter, bitter thing, the Farmers Union and the NFO and the rest of them.
So won't we catch hell about this suit we filed?
No, no, this one now. Well, the suit, we sure will. We're going to catch bloody blue blazes on it. And I did my best to stop it. And I just pleaded with Grant to stop it, and he felt he couldn't. But it's just a law violation, and I didn't want to dump it in your back. You won't do it, better you don't.
I thought you went along with it. You didn't agree to it.
No, sirree. I strongly opposed it. Strongly opposed it. Every resource I could, every argument I could, as a politician and as a lawyer, I opposed it. But he just did what he had to do, so I'll do my
best. Why did he have to do it?
Because it was, the evidence was such, he says, the evidence was such, and it was, and that there was illegality here, and he had to enforce the law. Period. And I was not very persuasive.
Well, I think those kind of things, I think you better, when your department's interfered with, and the justice can tell you that they know more about farming than you do, and what to do with them. If you are a lawyer and you got anybody over there that does know any law and they don't agree, I think you ought to just say, by God, let's go to the president. Yeah. I just do it every time. First of all, there's about two or three things. I believe you're loyal. I know you're energetic. I'm confident that you're smart. And I think you're the best secretary I have known. And I do that just without any regard to friendship. I just believe that is my judgment. And I think my judgment's pretty good. But I do think that we, including me, have imposed on you some in the general picture. And I think you're enough of a Marine that you take it. That the country's good comes ahead of your own little backyard. Now, from now on, I'd watch my backyard a little bit. And I'd run for office a little bit myself with the farmers.
Yes, sir.
And I would also always run with my president. But I wouldn't necessarily always run with my attorney general. I wouldn't publicly do it.
Yeah.
But I'd goddamn sure realize I got as much standing in that cabinet as Rusk has, or McNamara has. And I saw Kennedy embarrass you two or three times about farm payments. And I saw you just snap back, by God, like a tennis ball. And I liked it. And I think people do like it. And you and your wife got nothing to be apologizing for or anything, nothing but be proud. You've got a great record. And I was talking to George Mahon Sunday on these farm problems. And he said he doesn't think there's a better man ever been Secretary of Agriculture, as competent and as able and as knowledgeable as you are. Now, that's a hell of a statement to make from a chairman of the Appropriations Committee. But what you have to do, I think you have to take a look and count your cards and look at your old card, and then be goddamn sure that you run for office just like you run in governor of Minnesota. That you try to see that your people are taken care of, and by God, just like George Meany takes care of his labor union. And I just think I'd call in my boys and I'd get some new outfits, and where they're not doing what they ought to. You ain't got no business taking on George Mahon and Bob Pogue and everybody in the goddamn country. Find out what's wrong. Find out where it is. See if it can't be worked out. If it can't, well, maybe we can't. But hell, we can't carry many chairmen against us slugging it. I think it's amazing how you get along with Eleanor. And, of course, I understand Pogue. God help you. Anybody that inherited Cooley and then Pogue is ought to change the Lutheran Church and go to something else. But God bless you.
Thank you.